myself and Roger being in sales and other forms prior to Nest, we've gotten more thank yous from lending money than any other sale that we've done. So it's it is a good feeling.
Hi, and thanks for tuning into the Ask a Private Lender podcast. Really excited about this week's episode. Later on, we're going to have Chris Allinson stop by from Nest Capital Mortgage Investment Corporation. Just really excited to talk to the guy. I think he has a great product to offer. Be sure to listen for Chris. Before we jump into Chris's interview, something important we actually wanted to discuss with you guys. And as you know, we have a lot of lenders on the platform now. We're actually getting a call from a lot of them, and they're wanting to talk about deal submissions. And why it's an important topic right now is because they're getting deals through their emails. They're getting deals over the phone. And the easiest way to get the deals, from what we hear, is being connected to the Phylogix or Lendesk platforms through Automator. And why it's so easy is they don't have to do anything. They get a simple email that comes through saying a new deal's been submitted, you know, or if they're on the platform, the little bell in the top right corner for notifications pops up and says a new deal has been submitted, and all of the data is already there. And there's a level of frustration right now that they're getting deals from everywhere, right? And I think that a big reason why this is happening is the lock on the application and credit bureaus aren't there. So brokers are still downloading the apps, they're downloading the bureaus, they're sending through email, and something that's been talked about for quite a while now.
I think there's a lot of chatter on the forums. If they figure out a way to lock the app, they find another way to unlock the app. Their brokers are working to sort of weave around the system. And the thing is, the lenders, like our clients, they're constantly saying they just want to do it this way. They've taken the liberty and the efforts to get credentialed with Equifax. They've done everything above board. They're on the drop-down menus of these platforms. They're saying to, they're openly saying to please submit to us, yet they're still getting them from all these different methods. And it's actually starting to frustrate them because there's a lot of inconsistencies in how they're getting.
Why do you think that is though, Joe? Why? I mean, I would think in order to get the apps and get the bureau, the brokers have to enter all the information on the platforms, right? Whether they're using the Phylogix platform, the Lendesk platform, 100%. Wherever, right? Yeah. So they're already doing all the work. Why are they not just clicking the one button and having the deal automatically flow through? Why are they wasting their time downloading and emailing?
Honestly, I'm actually not really sure. There's obviously a lot of lenders in the industry, maybe some of the smaller guys that are not on the platform. So the brokers have already submitted those deals, printed those apps, sent it to them. Those deals were rejected. And now they're sending it to our clients potentially as a second look. And therefore, they've already got the app and the bureau printed. So the first thing that comes to their mind is, let me just email it, because that's the typical way or the old school way of doing it. Definitely been speaking to a few people myself, and they're quite frustrated. They're coming together. They're bringing organizations together to try to figure out a way to create more transparency in the industry to protect the consumer information. They don't want floating around. And again, they're the ones who've taken all the right steps, and they feel that a small percentage of the people in the industry have not, and they're still essentially doing it the old school way. I would say that I think something has to happen sooner than later. The rumblings that I've been hearing through my contacts is that there will be something happening very shortly, but I think until it actually happens, people will refuse to adjust.
Probably just old habit too, right?
I think so.
15 years or 20 years, whatever. And you're going to continue doing what you're doing, but couple of reasons why you probably should use the platforms and submit it digitally, like your client, the borrower, there needs to be a trace of who's looking at their information.
Correct.
And this is a way that everyone knows what's going on. So that's number one. I mean, I know Equifax themselves, they like their data, they want to make sure is safe. I mean, they've already,
correct.
So shock, you know, there's been data breaches before, and I know they've gotten everything under control. And the thing with the internet is there's always going to be someone trying to get data. And I think the easiest way for them to get it is if you're just sending a simple email. I mean, I'm pretty sure our email servers are the first thing that can get compromised. Do you think that a reason that brokers are during the system has to do with dollars and cents and reporting? Or do you think that that's not crossing their mind?
I think they're aware that obviously the brokerage houses are watching them a little bit closer these days, just because they're openly saying they don't want them going rogue. But I think
E&O doesn't cover.
Well, that's correct. Yeah, E&O will not cover you if you're not putting the files through properly. But I still think it stems from the lenders they send the business to, right? If the lenders are not on these systems and they're not able to ingest the data, they're essentially telling the broker, if you want my business or if you want my money, you've got to send it to me off the grid. And I think that's the problem. If everyone said you have to digitally submit it, the broker wouldn't have an issue digitally submitting the file. Yeah. I think there's a bit of both. I think there's a little bit about getting around certain compliance things, but I think that's always been around in the industry. I don't think it's a big part of it, but I think that the majority of it is smaller private lenders who don't do the volume. They're family and friends. They don't have access to these systems and obviously will not pay to be on these systems and therefore are still forcing these brokers to send the business off the grid. And I think only once the apps are fully unavailable for print functionality until the file closes for compliance reasons only, I think only then will you start noticing a pattern change into the right direction.
Because there's been so much chatter around turning off the ability for brokers to print apps and bureaus, I think it's just going to come out of left field. That's my own thought. What I think is one day, it's just going to be shut off. And if you're a lender who is not credentialed and is not set up to receive these deals digitally, I think you're going to be shut out of the business until you're credentialed, because one day they're going to flip that switch. And then how are you going to receive all these deals?
I would say because they've already provided certain warnings, right? By trying to limit the print functionality only until after you submit a file. I think there's clear signals from the top saying, this is coming. We're just doing it in small stages. But now that people clearly don't want to follow the rules, I think when they do it, they're not going to provide notice. I actually do agree with you. I think it's going to be sudden. You're going to have a few days notice max. It's going to be implemented, or one day you're just going to try to print it and it's going to not let you. And then you're going to be scrambling to try to fund that rush deal and your lender won't be available. And someone will unfortunately have to pay the consequences from the business side of things. But I think there's been enough chatter. There's clearly enough dialogue in the forums where people are aware of it. So it shouldn't come as a surprise to most people. And I think it'd be good for the industry. And I think for the lenders that are trying to do right by telling their brokers to submit digitally, I think they will be the ones benefiting from the most because they've been ready and prepared for this for quite some time.
If you're a lender and you haven't figured it out yet, you haven't gotten credentialed, you haven't set yourself up to receive deals digitally, I think it's time to make the move. And I'm not saying you got to use Mortgage Automator, right? Like, I think Mortgage Automator is a great solution. I think that if you were to look at Automator, you'd see all the benefits you have, but there's a number of different places that you can go to sign up to get deals digitally. Check out your options. See which one works best for you. I think it's extremely important. All right, Chris is coming up. Here comes Chris. Today, we have Chris Allinson, who's the CEO and co-founder of Nest Capital. Chris, thank you for dropping by. We really appreciate it.
Excellent. Thanks, Lawrence. Appreciate it as well. And Joseph, for putting us on today. Thank you.
The first thing that I want to talk about is, you know, you co-founded Nest Capital. Something that interests me is figuring out how did people get involved in the private mortgage business? So like, it's an interesting profession. You don't go to school for it. Would love to hear your story as to how you became a co-founder of a lending company.
Yeah. So it all started in terms of our family's interest in real estate. So roughly in 2008, we started purchasing residential single family properties across Ontario, did that kind of first route being to the real estate business with being landlords, did that for a number of years. And it was actually our good family friend and mortgage broker that said, hey, why don't you get into private lending? And he kept nudging Roger, my father, co-founder of Nest, you know, check out private lending. I said, no, I'm making my money. I'm going to sit back and watch the home values increase over the years. And then I think, you know, dealing with tenants for a couple of years and having some nightmare stories there, said, okay, well, let's look at what this private lending thing is. So before we started Nest Capital, we were lending out our own nest egg on individual mortgages. Did that for about 4 years, really learned the business, understanding, you know, underwriting, evaluating, you know, each individual mortgage deal. So we did about 65 mortgages during that time and really fell in love with the business. We took our money out of the stock market around that time and devoted family's money in mortgages. And then myself kind of had a light bulb moment with Roger around the holidays one year and basically said, well, what are you doing? I took a package from a software company. Do you want to start a company together? So that's kind of the starting point to Nest Capital. But it all ultimately led from a strong passion in real estate and in previous forms.
I love that because, like you were saying, for the first few years, you're just lending out your own money, right? You're lending out your family's money. So mm-hmm. I think that should provide a lot of comfort with your investors that, like, you know, it's not like you're just jumping out of the gate and like, give me your money. We're going to throw it in. We're going to see what happens. You know, you perfected your process with your mm-hmm. own capital, your own nest, as you put it. And then you went and started raising outside capital. So no, I think it's definitely a great story. And I would agree, like it's an addictive business. You know, you start yeah. doing the deals and you get excited about them and it's the action, right?
And Chris, and, 65 of them.
Yeah.
That's a number when you're working with your own. That's a number. But you yeah. guys are really big now. I mean, you have a decent size yep. fund and growing. And Nest Capital, if correct me if I'm wrong, you guys do predominantly second mortgages. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. About 90% of what we do is second mortgages and a sprinkling of first at the moment.
And is that more so because of the return or the size of the loans?
It's a combination of both. With our history predating Nest Capital, we enjoyed those, you know, returns that second mortgages bring. And we thought, you know, wouldn't it be great if we had a mortgage investment corporation that produced, you know, double digit returns for investors. So we set our eyes on that 10% targeted return, and we've been able to hit that historically each year. And then a byproduct of that is typically second mortgages are smaller dollar value, which allowed us to kind of sprinkle it even further across many different deals. So the two kind of go hand in hand, but I guess the main bit being the return that we wanted for our investors.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah. And I guess you have a decent sized fund, you're doing second. So you must have a lot of loans on the books then if you're doing seconds.
Yeah. I think we have close to 125 at the moment, which, you know, they cycle in and out, and it's
for sure.
The, as you said, the addictive nature of the business, finding that next deal and keeping that investor satisfied.
For sure. How would you say that you guys customer retention, I guess, borrower retention as a fund? I mean, and I don't know everything about funds, but I know like it's important to try to keep those loans on the books, right? You want to keep them on the books.
At least the performing ones.
Listen, non-performing ones sometimes make you money too, but the performing ones, the ones that don't give you a headache, is there anything you do specifically to try and keep those loans on the books? Is it renewal fees? Is it rate breaks sometimes? How do you do that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, our approach to borrowers is one of, you know, strong ethical, you know, values. We, you know, if they were late for a payment, it's, you know, nice phone call, simple email. Understanding that, you know, the environment that we're living in, people are going through some challenges. So when it comes to the renewal, we do give them the option to renew. So that's always available to them. The renewal fees, we cap and keep them pretty minimal. And we just capitalize or roll that into the principal balance. So we're not, you know, expecting a renewal fee check from them. You know, their monthly interest payment might go up, you know, $20, $30. And any other fees are just like an annual fee that we've add on. So it's not too much for a borrower to continue. So we do see quite a few renew. It is a short-term loan at the end of the day. So we do encourage them to seek out some better options because we do pride ourselves in helping out borrowers. You know, myself and Roger being in sales and other forms prior to Nest, we've gotten more thank yous from lending money than any other sale that we've done. So it is a good feeling. We make it easy for the borrower to renew. Or sometimes we might change the rate to make it easy if they need, you know, an extension. Treat that as a case by case.
So Chris, you mentioned that, you know, you get a lot of thank yous. Touching on that subject, I guess I'm going to guess that maybe you're helping people with debt consolidations or people in slightly more financially dire situations where this cash flow or this consolidation of debt really allows them to get their life back on track.
Absolutely. A good chunk of what we do is helping people get out of debt. There are a lot of lenders out there, unfortunately, that you know, have some high interest debt, you know, 19, 21% on credit cards or even more. Mm-hmm. And it really gives them the option to, you know, get out equity from their home and utilize that for a year And we would then instruct our real estate lawyers to pay off these debts. And over time, usually a year and a half, and that's why we renew, because it does take some time to have the borrower's credit bounce back. Then they kind of seek out some other options. Maybe they're refinancing their first to pay us out. But that's exactly it. It's providing them an alternative, an option that, you know, in an area that's underserved and the options aren't as many.
Makes sense. And you guys go direct to consumer, or you deal with a handful of brokers? How do you get your business?
So we have our own mortgage administrator, but we do work directly with mortgage brokers and agents. So we don't work directly with individual borrowers, but we've developed probably 24 relationships with individual brokers and agents that are feeding us, you know, mortgage deals on a consistent basis.
That's very good. Yeah. That relationship between lender and broker, I mean, it needs to be solid. What I hear most is there are brokers that lenders just enjoy working with because they get the business. They know how to submit the files. They're not just looking for that broker fee. They want to make sure that your capital is still secured. Even though you're still underwriting the files, they still care about it. And that's important. Yeah. Is there a piece of advice that you would give brokers who maybe haven't dealt with you before or maybe will in the future to how they should properly submit the deals, or something that you see with your top guys that you think would help them at the end of the day deal with private lenders?
Yeah, I think the biggest piece of advice would be don't feel burdened with trying to get all the information wrapped up in an application, you know, all the notice of assessments or pay stub, all that stuff. Just start with where it starts with your client. You know, the mortgage application is key. Credit bureau, appraisal, if there's one available, and start communication that way with us, because that gives us plenty to review. And then those that were doing a lot of kind of high volume kind of create a bit of a story on why the borrower needs the funds. Are they paying off some debts? Then we can see, okay, this is a goal to get them out of the situation that they're in. Or perhaps it's growing their business. In addition to the use of funds, exit strategy, is this going to be one that need to be a two-year type of mortgage, you know, renewing after the first 12 months? Or are they going to be, you know, refinancing with a different lender after 12 months? So that's kind of the structure that we see. But, you know, don't feel burdened by how much to include. Just start small, mortgage application, credit bureau, appraisal if available, and then the rest will fill in the dots.
But you're saying, like, just understand the file. Like,
yeah,
Google map the address, maybe.
That extra 5 minutes that the broker can take to really understand the file, to then come to you fully prepared and say, Chris, here's everything on the deal. Mm-hmm. Rather than, because like the questions you'll typically ask are always going to be the same. You know, in the industry, you'll say, so what about this? They go, oh, I don't know. Let me go find out. And I think that it's important that if these guys can learn and understand what your needs and wants are on day one, the answers that they're going to be getting will be much quicker as well. Turnaround time on files will be much faster as well. So I do think that's important, but it sounds like you have this good group that do get it. So that's really important.
Yeah. And if it's a new relationship, we help guide them. You know, here are the top 3-5 things that we're looking for. And, you know, if a new application comes in, great. You know, just a reminder, people like that extra nudge and an approach versus kind of dismissing it because it doesn't fit into the, you know, framework that we have set. We're flexible.
So wheelhouse wise, like what do you like to see, like LTV wise, loan size wise, what's
location?
What's your bread and butter?
Yeah, our bread and butter is across Ontario. I think the most northern point we've gone is kind of Sudbury, but we're not a GTA only lender. Great areas in Ottawa to Windsor and everything in between. Our bread and butter is kind of small dollar value second mortgages on residential properties. If you're looking in that area, that's kind of what we look for. I guess the loan to value, we do go up to 85% loan to value, which is helpful for certain brokers and borrowers. We do offer prepaid interest. So the borrower, you know, doesn't have to pay interest for the year. If the math works for the file, that's been a popular point these days. And a recent appraisal, that is key. There is kind of a max dollar amount that we would look at. You know, anything under kind of say 400,000 is good. If you're looking at a second at a million, which would have to be quite a nice property to have a second at a million, you know, we'll probably pass on that. But the average mortgage that we're doing is about 100,000 on residential across Ontario.
One of my most favorite questions to ask, you know, you've been in the business a long time. What would you say is the most memorable deal that you've ever had?
Yeah, not the most memorable, but memorable because we've seen it before and funded it before a couple of years ago and kind of come back, and that's fine. And it was nice to see that they've improved their financial situation. I think the most memorable one is a good one. It was a father and son contracting business, and they couldn't get a business loan because it's pretty tough, let's face it, to get a business loan from the banks. I think they took out maybe 150 on their primary residence. And I think they actually paid out earlier and said, thank you very much. That allowed us to grow the business. And I think to this day, they probably don't need a second mortgage. So kind of let them leapfrog to the point that they're at today. So that, I think that kind of stood out, kind of some similarity to, you know, myself and Roger being father and son team, growing a business. And here we are, have helped them in a way with a mortgage that kind of acted like a business loan.
It's always good when you hear that, or you don't hear, but you know that you've helped someone, right? And, and you guys getting all those thank yous. I mean, it's not something that is normal in the industry, right? Yeah. You must be doing something right if people are reaching out and thanking you for the help that you've provided them. And, you know, you only hope that once they get out of that mortgage, they're not going to come back. Sometimes they do for certain reasons. Maybe they need another business loan for another a piece of equipment or whatever it might be. But yeah, you know, Joe always says it. I'm taking it from him. It's a Band-Aid solution. We don't want to keep you forever. Mm-hmm. We want you in, we want you out, and we want you to go about your day like it never happened.
I didn't see anything about on Nest's website mentioning 5-year fixed terms at 10%.
No. Yeah. You won't see that. If you find it, let us know. We'll take it off. But it's definitely not there.
Is there a difference from like when you were doing it yourself and just like lending your own money out to now you have this company and now you have a responsibility to others? Do you find it different at all, or you just do your thing like you normally do it and you feel comfortable with your process?
Our selection of mortgages in terms of like lending parameters and, you know, evaluating has been solid from the beginning. Certain things, like nowadays we don't go behind private first mortgages, for example, but whether it was our own funds before starting Nest, you know, we would consider that and have done it. So that's a little bit, I think there's more care and focus in terms of the operations of the business. I mean, that's great about Mortgage Automator. Really comes in and made a huge difference for us versus doing things in Excel before Nest Capital, which I'm sure some, you know, private lenders have done and have experienced those pain points. So yeah, I mean, just putting the systems in place to carry on with that, you know, well thought out lending strategy, but doing it in a bigger sense.
And for everyone listening, that was not a paid advertisement. I promise you, there was no money changed hands for that. So, but we do really appreciate the kind words, Chris. You have a bunch of investors now. I'm sure there are some really wealthy ones that you deal with, or you've dealt with wealthy individuals over a period of time with you being in the money business. What would you say is a good piece of money-related advice that you've received from any of them? And it could even be your father, right? Who mm-hmm. who gave you some advice over time that you think would be beneficial to anyone listening?
Yeah, I think, you know, protect your capital, protect the principal, look at diversifying. But in our family, we put all our money in mortgages and been happy with it. Another key point is if you're tired with how some accounts of yours are performing, that's the time to act. If you're doing like spring cleaning of your place each year and throwing in a bunch of stuff or donating it, that's what you should be thinking about in terms of your investment. So do that investment spring cleaning, as we're probably coming close to spring these days, and see what are some areas that you could allocate elsewhere and research those, ask the right questions and find out more.
Makes perfect sense. And I hear this time and time again, where the money managers, the people who are in the business, who understand the business, they don't diversify. They understand that it is probably the best investment that you can make as far as the return you're receiving, like the risk.
Yeah.
For the risk. I mean, it's a phenomenal investment tool, which is why I feel like investors even get addicted to it. They get their money in and they maybe take a little step in to see what it's about, and things are going well. And, you know, they call you again with more money, and they keep putting more into the fund because they start to understand that we're talking about real property here, real assets and real areas that you can go and you can touch. It's not like the stock market where there's one major player who decides to turn the market and they can do it, completely different. You know, over the years, anything ever slipped through the crack doesn't have to be like a loss per se, but like, have you ever been with it with fraud? Was there ever a situation where something came up and that's happening today? More and more people are trying to slip some things through. Yep. You ever experienced anything like that before?
We have not, no. It all comes down to, I mean, the lawyers, the mortgage brokers that we used before we started Nest, we just carried that on. So we already had that relationship in place. Even our registered dealers are very well known. They do a really good job on the investor suitability side. So we haven't experienced any loan loss, for example. We may have had recently a borrower that was all confused about the mortgage that he had, whether it was done properly, but we just go back to what's papered and what's there, and and there wasn't any fraud or misrepresentation or anything. So it is important to, for lenders, for investors, to think about who else is part of the team, evaluating mortgages, doing the legal work, approving investors, all that is key. So we've luckily surrounded ourselves with some very trusted advisors.
What was your view on COVID? March 2020 hit. A lot of lenders, they took a step back. They didn't understand what to do. Some people, they kept going. They said, you know, I'm going to capitalize on this. What was Nest Capital's reaction to COVID and what did you guys do?
Yeah, we took a pause in terms of new mortgages for about 2 months. And then we did some serious kind of number crunching and figure out, okay, well, what reserve should we be keeping if the deferred mortgages at the time, it was under 10% of our pool, jumped up to 25 or 50, like some really exaggerated numbers. So we already built in that reserve and we continued that probably till the fall. And realize, okay, the deferrals dropped down and now they're non-existent. So we did take a pause and then we, you know, kept our ears open to other lenders that are they lending? These ones are reputable. Should we maybe consider it again? But until we were comfortable with the numbers and how it played out, we did kind of pump the brakes. But it goes to show that it's good to do that. But it was nice to get back into lending some money after doing a pause there.
I did notice there was a trend with the consumer themselves that people did not want to borrow money knowing they could not pay it back because they, for the first time in a very long time, they weren't sure if their house was actually going to go up in value to get them out of that mess. Yeah. Whereas like most years, it's like, oh, my house is going to go up. And again, this year is a perfect example. You know, if you did 85 last year, it's 75 this year, or 70 this year. And so people are like, oh, I can go maybe borrow more money. But I think for the first time, people were like, we don't know what's going on. We've never seen something like this before. I don't know if I'm going to be a hero and try to pull off some risky investment play or build something on spec. Or just borrow money because I don't know if I will be able to pay it back because I don't know how long CERB's going to be around for. So it was interesting to see sort of a different moodpoint in the market as well.
Yeah, and it was interesting that you mentioned that because I think the ones that, from a borrower perspective, that full steam ahead are kind of that real estate investor, landlord with multiple properties. They kept on accessing equity in the second mortgage. That traditional, let's consolidate some debt type borrowers, yeah, we did notice kind of a little bit of change for a few months there, but overall didn't impact a whole lot.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting time. And, you know, you just don't know. Listen, I have respect for all lending companies. I understand what they do on a day-to-day basis. And if you choose to keep pushing ahead, kudos to you. But it's just such an unknown. You really don't. It's a once in a lifetime, right? More than a once in a lifetime. So it's hard to know what's going to happen on the other side. And when you do have the responsibility of keeping people's money safe, maybe not a bad idea to evaluate.
Well, it's red or black, right? But at the same time, you know, some people say for the first time, rates were not compressed. They went up.
That's so true.
You could get way more on your dollar during that March to call it July than I've seen in a very long time.
It's personal, right? It's a personal opinion and preference. And I'm not a risk taker. I like to know what's going on. I want to know the answer before I do anything. It wouldn't be for me, but no, I definitely respect all sides, whatever people decided to do at that point in time. So you deal with 2 dozen brokers, maybe more, maybe a little less. For people listening that want to submit a deal to you, right? Who do they contact? Do they just go and submit it through their broker systems? Like what should they do? Do you want them to introduce themselves to you first? What's the process?
If you want to just get that deal submitted and click send, you can submit it via FileLogix or Lendesk to Nest Capital Mortgage Investment Corporation. Likely Nest Capital. I don't know if all those words fit in the drop-down menu. If you have other documents you want to send via email, chris.allinson@nestcapital.ca, or just simply go on our website and you'll have all our contact details there, nestcapital.ca.
What's the turnaround?
Yeah, we'll tell you if we're going to do the deal probably in a couple hours. We can get the commitment out same day. I mean, that's key because usually the brokers are talking to us. Sometimes the borrower's right there and they're trying to, you know, get the deal and, you know, get it confirmed. So yeah, absolutely. The quick turnaround is very important to us. So we're very quick in that regard. And we don't ask for so much in terms of supporting documents. Just get in the basic and we'll go from there.
Sounds like a good deal. For everyone listening, Chris Allinson, Nest Capital. They're all across Ontario. They say about 400 and less is their wheelhouse, predominantly second mortgages. Turnaround time is quick. You can get a hold of them quickly. They'll give you an answer quickly. Just give them the specifics, like not the bare minimum, but enough that they can actually look at the deal and properly assess. So don't waste your time trying to collect every last document before you submit the file. Application, credit bureau, appraisal if you have one, flip it over and they can get you the answer that you're looking for.
Just know the story, ask the question.
Yeah, know the story. Yeah.
Know the story. I think that's the big one.
Yeah, that helps.
It always surprises me when you got a broker who like is submitting a deal and knows nothing about the file. Like, I don't understand that. I don't understand why. Like, why would you do that? Like, understand the file because you know what? You're probably going to get as good of a deal as you can get with the lender you're submitting to. If you know what's going on, you're making their job easier. They like dealing with you as opposed to like they're pulling teeth and it's all this back and forth and back and forth. And at the end of the day, they're like, I don't know if I can deal with this person.
I think they're doing a disservice to the borrower too, because it's 100% on them to find the best possible deal. And if you don't know the story and you don't know what the lender likes, you're throwing darts against the board and hoping something sticks. It's probably not the best for your client. So if you know what Chris likes, send him the deal, make sure that you've got the story, make sure he understands what's trying to be accomplished with the deal and he'll give you the best possible deal to make it happen.
And up to 85. And if it works prepayment, I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge across Ontario. And you do like smaller areas as well across
Ontario?
We do.
Yeah. We do. Yeah.
That's great. That's if you don't have a guy like that in your wheelhouse,
you need to call Chris.
Lenders is concerned. Yeah. I mean, it's a no brainer and send a deal, try him out. Don't send him a 95% deal the first go around and be surprised when he says no. That's obvious. I can tell you he's going to say no. Mm-hmm. Send him a doable deal. And I always say this, like send deals in that you know can be written. So at least you see the process. You can see if you like working with them and you can see how everything works. And so, yeah, if you're listening, send out a deal to Nest. Send it over to Chris. He's going to get an answer back to you right away. Chris, we really appreciate the time. Thank you for stopping by. To everyone listening, thank you. And be sure to follow Mortgage Automator on Facebook, on LinkedIn, on Instagram. We're Automator Group on Twitter. And you can go to askaprivatelender.com to check out all the latest podcast episodes. Chris, thank you. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you for tuning in to the Ask a Private Lender podcast. Go to askaprivatelender.com to check out the other episodes. Follow Mortgage Automator on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook. And we're Automator Group on Twitter. And we'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye.